Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Jackie Schwab, your reluctant ringmaster, and Marty Hannon, your world changer, host of the Caregiving Circus Talk Show. Today is Thursday, November 29th, 2018, at our new time, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. Today is the first episode of Season 1 of the Caregiving Circus, the caregiving talk show that helps connect you with the resources, tools, and support that you need to participate in the greatest show on earth, your life. Together, we work together to educate, equip, and empower families and professionals who care. Join us as we give practical and factual tips on how to manage your own three-wing circuits. Our topics range from autism to Alzheimer's and everything in between. Join us weekly as we figure out how to have fun, stay sane while juggling lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my. Today we're going to be talking about, Today we're talking about preparing for the holidays during the caregiving season. So hi, Miss Marty, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm fine and dandy, Miss Jackie. How are you?
I am good. Other than I have to admit, I am a bit chilly. It's cold in Wisconsin today. Not terrible.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to get the temperature regulated during this time of year, yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, I was just listening, and you said season one. Aren't we on season two?
Season two. You're right. Season two.
Yes.
Season two, episode one.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to flip that around. I'm such a silly bear. I wonder if I did it on that. I'm silly.
Well, you are the reluctant ringmaster, so things can get a little...
I know, I'm reluctantly doing things. You know, I got you. So, Marty, this week recently... you wrote an article on the holidays and the holiday season and the caregiving season. And I thought it was a really interesting article that I hope at some point we can tell our users where to go check it out. But it kind of talked a lot about what caregiving is like during the holidays, or at least from your perspective and what it's been like for you. So I'm wondering if you might be willing to talk to us a little bit about kind of that situation, not necessarily the article itself, but tell us a little bit about what caregiving during the holidays means for you in your situation. Would that be okay?
Absolutely. Let's do this. And I think that it is, I hear a reoccurring theme with a lot of caregivers and with a lot of moms who are providing care to their child with special needs, where it's quite a bit more crazy during the holidays. And everybody experiences that to a certain degree, but when you have the added challenge of caregiving, then it really just complicates everything. Don't you find that to be true?
Yeah, I do. And it's interesting, too, that as we both talk about in all of our different mediums that we both use together and separately, that I think moms that have special kids, like, think that they're the only ones and they're isolated. But also, like, people who care for those with dementia, for those with Alzheimer's at home feel like they're alone and isolated. And interestingly, like, we all feel the same way. We're just isolated.
Yeah.
We don't know it, right?
And overwhelmed. There's a number
kind
of emotions.
Big O, right?
What'd you say? I missed
that.
I
said a whole different kind of big O, and caregiving the big O is overwhelmed. It's like, oh.
Yes. It's in bold letters, huge, 10 feet tall. And it's fine. The holidays are supposed to be this beautiful time of family, of remembrance, of making new memories and celebration and get-togethers. And we all have this, like, vision of what holidays should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from our upbringing, what society says. Our culture is just huge into celebrating the holiday season, which is beautiful. However, it is incredibly challenging for somebody who has been through a caregiving experience or been through a loss or is currently caregiving. And it's multifaceted. So, for instance, my story, I lost my mom. We've talked about that in season one quite a bit. I lost my mom when I was 17, and I've caregived throughout my life since then, so 25-plus years now. And I have a really hard time during the holidays. You know, I want to be part of what the society expects me to do, what my family wants me to do. I want to be part of the experience. I want to go to the gathering, but I also don't want to at the same time. So there's this duality of I'm longing for something I can't have anymore. I cherish memories from my childhood with my mom, and I cherish beautiful times, but at this point, I can't relive that. So I have to rethink my holiday traditions, because otherwise I'm just continually disappointed. And I find that to be a similar thing with other families who are in a caregiving role right now, because they may have had loss, but they're also trying to navigate, okay, how do we do holidays differently? Because we can't, it's overwhelming to bring mom to a family gathering. How do we do this now? And so we're here talking about what does that look like for everybody, and how can we look at holidays differently and prepare for it? Because it's going to be challenging.
Yeah, I would agree. So if you don't mind, you and I are fairly open about our faith as well when we talk on the podcast. And I think that, I mean, maybe there's even a third component of this. And in our family, we're Catholic, so we're Christian. The Christmas season is supposed to be about Jesus, right? So there's we're supposed to be, right? Maybe that's really all I needed to say. There's all of these supposed to be's, right? We're supposed to do this for the holiday, and we're supposed to have these traditions,
expectations.
And we're supposed to go to Christmas Eve Mass, and we're supposed to do this. And when you said it's like figuring out, you know, how to do it differently. And just like, you know, do you bring mom to this or don't you bring mom to that? You know, we struggle with that and that third leg of that too in our faith. And we have a daughter that can be less than, you know, cordial and not always the most sweet little bunny. And trying to go to a mass that's like 45,000 hours long on the solemnest day of the whole year where we're also supposed to be, you know, and revered by Jesus, and our kids screaming, you know, less than Jesus like words. And so it's so complicated, because it's more than just, right? But any of it, we're always shooting on ourselves, and then it's more than just as well, you know.
Right.
And what's even more sad for me, or I guess more real, is it's not even just special needs or parents. It's just even
families
without this stuff, right? There's all these expectations. I mean, I was hearing Christmas music the first week in November.
Yeah.
If that doesn't set us up for, you know, like all these expectations of things we're supposed to do and the ways we're supposed to be, even before that something different presented itself. And,
well, right, you see decorations in August now.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
It's such a heavy part.
I agree. I was just saying, in your case, I think that it's even more complicated too. It's all of those faith-based expectations that you want to do those things, right? You want to show up for all the Easter stuff, right? You want to show up for all the Christmas stuff, and sometimes it's just the guilt from that too is added, right? It's just added on to that.
There's a level
that's scary.
Melancholy. Yeah, you know,
say
there's a
again?
Level of melancholy that I can bring.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't want, so, and it affects the other people that I'm celebrating with. And as much as I don't want to bring that melancholy, it is there. And the more I try to ignore it, the worse it is. And it comes out in physical manifestation a lot of times. So, for instance, for years, my family has been like, why do you have a migraine every single holiday? Why you are always sick on the holidays? And I finally am like, oh, well, of course I'm sick on the holidays and have a migraine and feel terrible physically. Because I'm trying to ignore the fact that my heart is still broken. And that I need to allow myself to feel a little sadness. It's okay. It's okay to feel that sadness. Acknowledge it. And then I can do something with it instead of just trying to repress it and be like, la 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 la, you know, 'tis the season to be jolly. So we need to be jolly. And we don't have to be that way all the time. And it's more important that we acknowledge I am feeling some kind of way, because then you can sit with it for a minute and then let it go. But I've had, there's so many things. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Jackie. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. So like 2 points you made that I thought I hadn't thought of before, which is why I love to talk with you. The first is, it's interesting that there's this melancholy kind of, like, no one's allowed to be sad anymore in any circumstance. We're all supposed to put on a smiley, happy face and show up to everything like the world is beautiful. And it is beautiful, but emotions are not right or wrong or good or bad. They're part of our biology where, you know, sadness is part of it. And what's interesting to me is, like, specifically in this holiday season, the story of Jesus right now is a sad story.
Yeah.
This part is the sad part. It is the melancholy part. And it's okay if you're, like, in the church situation, of course, like, everyone's kind of somber, you know, or at least subdued. And there it's okay. But then outside of the family, it's not necessarily. And the other interesting part was, I never thought about, you said you always have migraines. My family for like 3 years missed our big family's Christmas because we all got sick every Christmas. And now I think I know why. Like, all of us were like, oh my gosh, how are we going to do this with Zoe in the van and the car and the snow and the cold and 2 hour drive? And well, like, yeah, like, we are protecting ourselves with germs, right? Like,
We literally get weakened because our brains are overworked and our emotions are overworked, and then we're more susceptible to illness. You know, I have talked about trauma and the trauma of caregiving, and I think that's a topic that needs to be explored in depth because most people just don't even pay attention to it. But there is an intensity around caregiving that is traumatic, especially exposure over long periods of time or sudden. There's a lot of trauma associated with it that your brain sets off a certain part and to protect you so you can keep doing what you need to do, just like a veteran in the war. So if you have experienced trauma, and this is for me, I have complex trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder. And what my emotions do, my body does, is any negative any negative emotions that I perceive, I try to, I block it out immediately. And I repress
it
in my body.
It's
automatic, yeah.
Yeah.
So triggering means that somebody looked at me the wrong way or said something the wrong way, and or there's a memory that triggers me to have an emotional outburst. So all that repressed memory comes to the surface. So when you look at that, it makes a lot of sense that families usually get really eruptive around the holidays as well. I don't know if that's your case with your family. But I've seen a lot of family.
So it's interesting, too. Yeah. So we've asked about ours briefly. So, and I think the audience knows, but just I have 4 kiddos. Now they're growing up. It's weird, but they're 5, 7, 9, and 12. Our 7-year-old is autistic, and all 4 of them are just adorable little turkeys. And my nephew lives with us as well. So we're
brilliant.
A pretty cool house. Seven of us. But I've never been, so I'm. My holiday experience is super different than yours. We didn't celebrate holidays because we were like dirt poor. We lived in a car for a year. Like, we weren't worried about getting gifts. We were worried about getting like food. And so I didn't grow up with a lot of those traditions. And my husband's a very, very traditional Catholic family and grew up in a small town. And holidays are this extremely large event, huge deal. And I just don't get it. Right. So I'm struggling with like trying to make events out of things that I just don't get. And my husband wants this hugeness. And so there's that problem already, right? That the expectations for the two of us are different. And then there's my little sweetheart who's super overwhelmed by noise, which is like the definition of a holiday. Super overwhelmed.
Right.
Like, she's now figured out how to open a gift. And then she looks around and everyone's smiling and she's like, why are you smiling? Like, we just made a big pile of paper mess all over the house. So,
and it was loud, unwrapping it.
It was loud, yeah. And it was really loud. So our experiences are different too. And I look the world a little different, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
I don't care how we show up or what people think. Maybe it's just because that's part of who I am. But my kids do. Right. My older kids do hate feeling like they're ostracized because of who they think is just a normal everyday life is with their sister. They do feel badly when we go to family events and they get the eye roll and they get like treated poorly because their little sister can't help but be overwhelmed. And maybe it's good that they are learning it younger so that they're not so that they're toughened up for later in life. But all of the shoulding and the justs are just really difficult for our children because they don't really understand why people would treat other people that way.
It's difficult for everybody, and we have these expectations we put on ourselves and others, and we want to fulfill that. So, like this year, my sister and I, she's always been amazing, always incorporating me in every family holiday since my mom passed away. And so I've always been enveloped in her family, but as I've gotten older, I've wanted to pull more away because it's not what I want to be doing, but yet I feel like I should be doing, and I want to be with the family, but yet it doesn't feel like the way I want it to feel. So there's this conflict of emotions. So this year, my sister and I actually had a really honest conversation, a hard conversation, but a good one, where we both realized that it's time to do holidays differently. And she's going to celebrate with her family unit, and they can do what works. And I actually really want to be quiet and reflective during the holidays. Yeah. And maybe I'll go to dinner at somebody's house, but really it's I need the quiet. It's too overwhelming for me because I'm in an already strained space emotionally. And this is the first time I'm truly acknowledging that and saying, you know what, it's okay. And I love all of them and I want to be with them and we'll do things other times. But during the holidays, it's extremely difficult for me to show up and give, make it a positive experience.
I think it's really interesting and good that you acknowledge that period. And I hope that the listeners consider that doing it different, maybe not doing it. There are so many cultural societal expectations that are put out there. And in the United States and every other country has other cultures too, but just because there's a specific cultural thing that's happening or a specific tradition or way things are being done doesn't mean it's the right thing or that it serves us anymore. And then when we live intentionally, we should re-examine anything that we've ever done on an automatic basis, right? And if it doesn't serve you in being the best you can be, then it doesn't. And set new rules for yourself. You know, you can love on your family in October. You know, you can love on your family on the 28th of December. You don't have to save that time where you're loving for that one day of the year either. And maybe if we spread out our love a little bit, that we could reduce the, like, I think the whole, like, at least Wisconsin's a lot of Germanic. There's a lot of German folks. And so there's a really strong, super largely Christian state, the whole state. There is a lot of expectation around the Christmas holiday. I dislike the whole month with all the stuff. My kids go to Catholic school, for heaven's sake. Every day they're sending home, we're doing this special project that's this. We're making cookies for 6 hours. We're making, it is exhausting.
It is exhausting.
We're busy. Does it serve our busy lives to add, you know, a component on that? So I think taking a moment to evaluate it.
You know, in the article I was referencing, you were saying how different our growing up experiences is. And I grew up until I was 11. We lived in California. I was the youngest of five. My brothers had children already. So it was a house full, and it was, to me, an amazing, tumultuous, joyous experience with family fights, but also a lot of joy. So when I approach the holidays, it's hard for me because it's always going to be disappointing. when I come to sit at a big family dinner table, because I want what I had when I was 11, where my family was all together, right? Now, that's not me complaining. That's the reality of where my heart is and being honest with myself. So what I've decided to do is look at it and say, okay, what do I want to get out of the holidays? And that's what I'm suggesting in the article, is looking at what is your most, your priorities in the holiday season? What do you want to get out of that? Mm-hmm. And then how can we, what is the ideal vision of that? And that was one thing I was laying out. So for instance, myself, I looked at, what do I want to get out of it? Well, I want meaning. I want to really have that reverence and beauty with God. And I want to have quiet and peace. Okay, that's what I want from the holidays.
Yeah,
and to serve others.
Not happening in a lot of places.
Right.
not doing traditional Christian Christmas season for sure.
And for me, I have to have a way of honoring the memories and reflecting on them, and then so I can let them go instead of just pushing them back.
Right.
So
Go ahead. Even being able to have the opportunity to, in that silence, in that doing it your way, being able to reflect upon a time that made your heart full, right? That's where you were feeling joy. So being able to continue to feel that joy. I like one of the things you said that was really important, and because I think people join these types of podcasts and they go to these things thinking we're going to tell them about, you know, here are ways to make the holidays great for people who have special needs or people who have dementia. Play games, right? Sing old songs.
Yeah.
Do things that you did
when
you were kids. And that's fair. I mean, those are all great coping mechanisms. But maybe instead of coping, do it different, right? You know, what do you want? In our family, I want my four children not to have an experience where they're feeling ashamed or sad or upset or protective over their sister. I want them to have an experience of joy and love and family. And if that's what I want, then we have to do it differently. We shouldn't be in a house with 100 relatives, because that's not going to allow the four of them to have that experience. So maybe stop coping, actually, like legitimately stop coping. And start rethinking what you want out of those experiences, and do it different, you know.
And I see it more as a hamster wheel. And I, you know, I love games. I'm all about purposeful fun.
Yeah.
But I also don't want it to be something else that we have to do. And this is the way the hamster wheel goes. This is what is expected of us. So if we get together to play a game as a family, then there's purpose behind it. There's meaning. It's not because we have to do this right now, because this is what's expected of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so what would it look like then for you to have it different for Zoe, for Ava, your whole family, so that it can still be meaningful, it can still have family connection to this? What would that look like?
I think for our family, unfortunately, my grandmother, who was sort of the matriarch of our family, passed away earlier this year. And so usually we would go to my grandmother's, and she has like 147 kids and 8 billion and 12 grandchildren. And we would drag our Zoe and our other three kiddos and everybody all the way down. And it's usually an hour and a half, 2 hour drive in both ways.
Mm-hmm.
That expectation, luckily, is just not there now, which makes the guilt factor a little easier. But really, it's getting up in the morning, all of us on the Christmas day, and eating breakfast at our own table in our pajamas. You know, and Zoe, right? Not like rushing to get everyone dressed and wearing clothes they hate to get in a car ride and be bored for 2 hours. And we would have pancakes because Zoe loves pancakes. And
nice.
Because Ava doesn't, right? So so we probably have four things for breakfast.
Everybody gets a favorite breakfast.
Yeah, everyone gets it. But really, because you have the time to do that, you know, and the kids would probably help make it. Zoe loves to cook, so she can help make her own pancakes. And then, you know, then we would open whatever it is we do or don't have under the tree, and they'd have time to enjoy those things, to play, to laugh, to giggle together, to be in a place that they know and are safe. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that would be perfect for me.
That's ideal. Yeah.
That's ideal.
But here's where it gets tricky, is then, okay, that's what I want. So how do I set the boundaries in a loving way with friends and family and protect what is the most important priority to you? And that's where I think we all have to reevaluate what is the simplest way that I can achieve that goal that I want? Yeah. What is the simplest version? And then how do I protect it and make sure that is sacred and that nothing else can interfere with that? So it's really, I think there's still, you know, the word last year for me was grace, and it comes down to how do we release judgment and show grace to ourselves and grace to others and release ourselves of these expectations and what people will think of us if we choose to do it differently.
Yeah. So there's an interesting concept too. I did some research in my professional life on power and influence and communication. And it actually is interesting that it all comes down to one thing. People care about themselves, not in a bad, horrible, selfish way, like biological, you don't want to die, right? And so if you're trying to figure out a way to influence others to allow you to be your best self, the first thing you have to do is figure out what they want, right? And and approach it from them and not from you, right? So if it's like a holiday, they want to have fun, they want to have food, they want to, you know, all of those things. And Zoe doesn't help them serve that end. So I start from them, like, hey, I know you like X, Y, and Z, and this is how that shows up for us. So we both win if, right? So it's that kind of that.
Yeah.
We have to do and set boundaries for what we want, and we have to ask for what we want. But the way to get there and the influence that we need to get there is actually just start by giving. Start by finding out what others need so that you can give them a valuable thing that allows that law of reciprocity exist, right? So that you can get the boundary that you need set. So maybe that's helpful for others, but I know that's something that we're working on in our family right now.
I think that's such a powerful tool that I'm beginning to try to incorporate in my life, and I think it's going to be an ongoing, lifelong process where it's really that empathetic listening and understanding what is this person feeling and what do they need in this moment. And then from there, you can say, what am I feeling? What do I need? And how can we communicate this in a really simple way? And there's a great tool for that. There's the Nonviolent Communication, NVC. It's also called compassionate communication, has really wonderful, simple steps on how to carry that out, that type of communication. So I'm so glad you brought that up.
Thanks.
It's really
cool.
So
I know luckily our next podcast will probably is a bit of a continuation of this particular topic with a different flair, but believe it or not, we're approaching the end of our time with the audience today. So we've got about a little less than 2 minutes. Would you want to say any kind of wrapping up parting words before we leave for today?
Absolutely. Thanks, Jackie. Well, I'm so glad to be back on with you, that we're ending this year off with grace.
New beginning.
Just like we started. And that I hope that the audience, that you guys will go out there and think differently about how you're going to pursue your vision of what the holidays look like. And you can check out worldchangerconsulting.com to see some of the products that we offer to help you enjoy your family differently and have purposeful fun as well. So thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.